Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 197, top of the day to you, Tom.
Hello.
And Tom, top of the day to Mick as well. G'day, Mick.
G'day. How are yous?
Hi.
Really good. Now, Mick, I'm trying to think, last time we had you on would have been the top five.
It was the end of year special.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about the top five for the year. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
I can't believe it's taken us this long. I apologize.
Look, time is just a blur. We all know that. We blink and then 6 months is gone.
Yeah. We thought we did this last year and we thought that was it, but, you know, we're just having a little encore at the moment. But we'll get through it. It'll all be over and done with sometime.
We will. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train heading straight into us, I think. I'm not sure yet. We'll have to wait and see, but I'm pretty sure it's not a train.
No.
We're going to have a Christmas show. I'm going to say it. We're going to have a Christmas show.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and make sure you get your voices ready because I'm also going to make you do that Watchersville live quiz, live play again.
I still think about that. That was amazing.
It was so funny. Yeah, get that ready. Maybe I should pre-warn Nabil as well. We'll get him to do another accent. Do you remember we got him to do a French accent? I was like, this is going to be so funny. We're going to throw this on him. And he was like, right, here I go. Like, not even a pause.
He's a skilled individual.
Yeah.
Where do we go this time to really stitch him up? Jamaican?
We should.
I'd love to see that. We'll hear that.
Yeah. Well, you'll be able to see and hear both, obviously. You know what we could do? We could actually live stream the play so that you can watch it live or wait till it's edited.
You can see the chaos as it unfolds.
And it is pretty chaotic in the best possible way.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by Frozen Sliced Bread. Always there when you need it, always willing to become toast within minutes. The local wombats have decided they need to burrow under the old abandoned library. Vandals who had broken inside the building ratted out the wombats who, too, had broken inside, but from underground. Not much is known about their intentions. The wombats, I mean, not the vandals. Their name alone is a good indication of what their plans are. But it's believed that they, that the marsupials, were probably looking for a copy of Wombat Stew or how to construct sturdy underground tunnels. Tens of thousands of holiday makers are expected at this weekend's Travel Ideas Expo. Held each year at the Watchersville Convention Centre for visitors, it's a wonderful travel idea in itself. As usual, there's not enough accommodation in town, so if you wanted to rent out your spare room or broom cupboard, now's the time to get it online. There will be amazing prizes given away at the expo, including a guided tour of the Watchersville Swamp by Slightly Dodgy Jimbo, and a 10-week staycation worth thousands. Jeremy Bartlow would like as many people as humanly possible to try to fit into his smart car this Friday as he attempts to break the world record for the most people, as humanly possible, in one smart car all at the same time. Just show up on the day if you're interested. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Tom, I've watched a couple of things and I'm excited to see whether... I don't think you would have seen one, but I think maybe Mick potentially may have watched one. So we'll see. But of course, I've watched Walking Dead as well.
We've got some crossover stuff I'm sure we've watched, but we'll see.
Yes. Ho, ho, ho.
I've got a few bits of news, not tons, just a little bit. We don't need to gorge ourselves.
No.
And a fun fact that I've got tucked away. I've spoiled everything by saying the fun fact's coming, but... you know it's coming.
We know.
Now you can relax and just enjoy the show.
Relax. But you can't relax for too long because I've got some upsetting news. Do you remember, Tom, a couple of months ago we were talking about how Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Mr. Donald Glover himself were going to be Mr. and Mrs. Smith in the Amazon adaptation? We're going to do like a series of it.
Yes.
Left the production.
Sure.
Creative differences?
it sounds like it's creative differences, because they put in that line, amicable split, and I was like, oh, that sounds a bit awkward.
Yeah. When mum and dad break up and they say it's amicable, it really
isn't. It's not at all. They're lying. Yeah, apparently he, so he's like a producer, and she was not really, I don't know, they had different like creative visions as to where the show would go. So that's a real shame, because I really was excited about that pairing. I saw that pairing and going, and I thought, oh, that's going to be funny. That I can see that, but obviously they couldn't.
Look, they are both very funny, but they're both known for individual credits. I can't think of any of you know it's not a co-production that either of them are particularly famous for. What's the word? Aeters? That's the thing in the heart. Aeuter.
This has become a spelling.
That's a new word for me.
it's like a Hitchcock. It's someone with a singular vision.
Right.
That's their bag. That, you know, Donald Glover, he comes up with Atlanta. He goes away, writes it, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And she does the same thing. So I can see the two of them butting heads over different things and different creative visions. That is a shame.
She'll, of course, be recast, and they're not expecting there to be much of a delay. We should get the series next year, so fingers crossed.
Sure. Hey, check this out for a segue, right? Check this out. I'm going to grab that, and I'm going to say, speaking of people who've unexpectedly voiced droids in the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
I know you're very excited about our Kiwi friend Rhys Darby appearing in the Blackbeard show, or the whatever that pirate show is where Taika is playing Blackbeard.
Yeah, that's right.
Love
that's Rhys. That's not all that Rhys is busy with at the moment. Coming out in September, there's a new expansion for the Star Wars Galaxy Edge VR experience game on Xbox and PlayStation and stuff like that. And in this new segment, you get to play as IG-88.
Ooh.
Who you may remember in The Mandalorian, IG-11, I think it was voiced by Taika.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
IG-88 is being voiced by Rhys Darby.
Perfect. So now droids, so not only are droids New Zealand accented in the Star Wars universe, but also like the clones as well. Yeah.
Yep. And Boba Fett. And it's a whole thing. The Kiwis are taking over Star Wars. But I think that is just awesome. IG-88 will be a playable character. So you'll be able to play as Rhys Darby voicing a tin robot. And from what I've seen, it looks like his movements and actions very closely replicate what was established on The Mandalorian in Empire Strikes Back, which is where we'd seen IG-8 before. He'd basically just stood and maybe moved his arms a little bit like that.
he didn't make
practical sense.
Yeah.
Whereas in Mandalorian, they determined that he shot by like spinning his torso really fast. So there's going to be this sort of 360 style attack mode that you can do of spinning and doing area effect damage.
I bet like you have to like hold down a button and it goes, and then you let go and it goes. Does the spin
like pause? You're right, because it's probably like really high damage.
Yeah.
So these really high damage, you know, characters always have a bit of pause before it happens, so people can run away. Ah! And then get slaughtered. So great.
I hope
there's bits where he like mows down a room of people, and then just in Rhys Darby voice goes skucks, or something really. Yeah, maybe they'll hide a Ricky Baker reference in there.
I dare them to.
The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Now we're going to talk about a little bit about how we feel the final season of The Walking Dead is going. How many episodes are we up to now? Three or four? Maybe three.
I think we've had three.
Three, yeah, okay. But just in case you're wondering what Andrew Lincoln is up to, he's not up to The Walking Dead. In fact, he's going to star in an episode of the how do you say the name? Is it
Wipeout? Is it Wipeout?
No. No. no, what's the director's name? Guillermo del Toro. How do you say his first name?
Yeah.
Of Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities on Netflix. So it's just gonna be a one episode. This show looks really cool and different and weird. In the way that you would think it's going to be. They say in the press release, actually, from macabre to magical, gothic to grotesque or classically creepy, there's going to be 8 different episodes, completely different stories. And I think Andrew Lincoln's going to go very well in that because he was all of those things in The Walking Dead at some point.
I wonder if he's going to fuck a fish man. I don't know if you saw Shape of Water, but that's about falling in love with the fish man.
I don't know why, but my brain went straight to that Black Mirror episode about the Prime Minister of the UK. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Infamous. And what accent will he use? Because, you know, a lot of people forget that he's English.
Yeah, but not the ones who remember him from This Life or Teachers.
Or Love Actually.
Or yeah. Love Actually, yeah, exactly.
I try and blank that out of my memory, to be honest. But I like to pretend he's a sheriff from Walking Dead forever.
Yeah, I like to remember him with, like, the pink makeup around his eyes and then the sweaty hair.
Oh.
When he's gone crazy. He's about to chew someone's neck out.
Jeez, Carl! Maybe. Hey, some other Walking Dead news.
Oh, yeah.
Over on Walking Dead World Beyond, which is coming back very soon, I think. Maybe, I don't know when.
On Amazon,
when this block finishes.
I'd say so.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Either way, this is the second and final season of the spin-off, which was always planned that way. And this one is set quite a bit further down in the future. Like, these teenagers that we're following were all born after everything had fallen, I think. Oh, no, sorry. I take that back. They were quite young.
Yeah,
either way, it's
young.
Been 10, 12 years or something like that. So it's probably a few years later in continuity than actual Walking Dead. Mm. It hasn't mattered too much up until this point, but we've been following some sort of union, and we haven't been sure if they're the same as the Three Rings ones that are appearing on Fear the Walking Dead.
God, yep.
So much Walking Dead. Anyway, so we had that character Jadis, and she was the leader of the Trash People.
Yep.
God, this is a weird show.
The
leader of the
yeah.
Trash People, who was actually like a secret agent for one of the corporations, and she was tagging and bagging fresh kills, or like freshly turned people for research. She was the one that took Rick.
Yep.
We haven't seen her since then. Well, apparently she's going to be appearing on World Beyond.
Cool.
And we will be getting a bit of connective tissue that finally links the corporations across the three shows.
Yeah, right.
And gives us a bit of a clearer idea of where Andrew Lincoln went.
Wow.
Which it sounds like he went to Guimara's house.
Yeah, that's where he's stuck in there. He's in a creepy wonderland. I'm also wondering... / hoping that we see Heath before the series ends.
Mm.
Because I don't know if you remember, Mick, Heath was a bloke that they met just before, I think just before they met the people who lived on the water side. What are they called? The sea. They live near the sea.
And oh, yeah.
Oceanside.
Thank you.
Is that, yeah.
And, yeah, I couldn't remember. Anyway, he was there before them. And
Heath, yeah.
And he wandered off with, I think it was Tara, and they were like, okay, I'm going to go down there. I'm just going to pop down this road, meet you back here in a couple hours. And we never heard from him again. It was never mentioned. It was just, like, weird.
I mean, he got lost.
He was played by Corey Hawkins, who very quickly went on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
So I think it's a case of,
please.
The actor's probably a little bit too busy.
Just a little cameo. Just be like, oh, hey, how you going? I've been here the whole time. Forgot
or
I was
a zombie.
Supposed to meet you back. Yeah, yeah.
If they do a movie, then perhaps they can up a pay, you know,
yeah.
The pay amount and get him involved. And maybe he's just a zombie in a pen.
Yes, yes.
We haven't quite had this yet, but on the show, but in... I want a Day of the Dead is where there's Bub. Bub is the first zombie in the Romero films that seems to have intelligence, and he's retained part of his personality. He knows how to hold a gun. He learns how to fire the gun. all this sort of stuff. We haven't had that sort of presence on the show yet of someone studying zombies. We've had like the governor who ripped all the teeth out and things like that, but someone coming up from a very clinical side, I could see that being an angle that they include maybe in the movie.
It's a good idea.
When's the movie due? Is that
2018. 2018 it was.
If, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it is interesting because you watch what Andrew Lincoln's doing, and he's doing films. He's in one episode of this new series on Netflix.
He's doing Wipeout.
He's doing Wipeout. Can't wait to see that. But he's not attached to a long running, or he's not the star of a series yet.
I don't think he'll do that unless it's an English production. He wanted to go back and be with his family.
But it also means he's not being tied into stuff long term, so he could. Anyway, we'll see. I also suspect that, you know, the pandemic is probably messing up a bit of things in the whole world of trying to figure out what goes when and where and if they can. But yeah,
I'd love to see zombies with masks on though.
Yeah.
It might protect us, you know, us from them if they've got the masks on too.
They can't bite.
That's so true.
They're like, I can't get through the three-layered surgical mask.
That's such a good idea.
Protecting everyone from everyone.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's start organizing that. I'll be all right with that. Do you guys remember a show called Queer as Folk?
Of course.
From like early 2000s, I'd say. Yeah.
Introduced a lot of people to seeing or normalizing homosexual people on TV.
That's
which
right.
Up until that point was just not seen much. But SBS really broke ground there and showing it in Australia. But of course, it was a worldwide hit.
Yeah. It was even originally a UK show. And Littlefinger from Game of Thrones was one of the main characters in it. And then it was brought over to the US and it was way bigger. Like that series was way bigger and went for longer as well. Anyway. Congratulations, it's getting a reboot. Peacock over in the US is redoing it. So I don't know anything other than that, but we'll see.
It's going to be American?
It's going to be American. We'll see how it goes. They are casting at the moment, but I don't recognize any of the actors, so.
Okay. It would be so different. I think the context of it and the way that it's portrayed compared to 20-odd years ago for a show that was sort of breaking ground to now it being, you know, quite normalised, which is great. It wouldn't be as groundbreaking, but maybe they just push the envelope a little bit. Who knows?
Maybe they do try. Yeah, maybe they do try that. Maybe they focus more on trans people potentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's something that is in the conversation in the world at the moment. So maybe that's where they go. Maybe that's what they try and normalize a little bit more. Because you're right. 20 years ago, this was quite cutting edge, wasn't it?
It was.
If they want to make a wave, they've got to call it trans as fuck.
That's great. Catchy. This was a real catchy title.
It's a good hashtag.
Yeah, it is. You see that taking off on Twitter quite successfully. I don't know when that is. It looks like it's super early days, but just something to keep on your radar. See what they come up with.
What do we think? I mean, they did the remake of Queer Eye for the straight guy. For Queer Eye for the, is it? Yeah, but they just called it Queer Eye. And it was like, and they've done like 1.5 seasons. They came to Australia and it sort of just hasn't come back yet. But I thought that was a fantastic remake or reinvention of the brand.
I love that. That's on Netflix. I think they've got some new episodes coming soon.
Oh, cool.
I think I love that show so much. I know they've all split up. Yeah. Like they're all off doing a lot of side projects and stuff. And Tan France was hosting some other show.
Jonathan Van Ness does fitness videos.
Oh, does he? Mm-hmm. Right. That's amazing. that's sometimes the problem with shows like that. When they become quite successful, individual people from the show end up getting extra work, and that's really hard to bring them back together. But once again, they would always travel somewhere, wouldn't they? They travel to Australia. They would travel to a town somewhere and focus on someone. Maybe that's been a bit difficult.
It's hard to believe that I came all the way to Australia just to go to Yass. I mean, it just it still makes me laugh every time.
Yass.
They did it. They did it.
Very on brand.
Yeah, it's classic.
Did you know that listening to this podcast gives you immunity against energy vampires? Keep listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, I was kind of bummed out to see a little bit more fallout from the whole Scarlett Johansson versus Disney case. Apparently, the Russo brothers were very close to signing on to direct another, potentially multiple Marvel films. Now, they're the guys that started with Captain America, Winter Soldier, then did Civil War, Avengers Infinity War, and Endgame. So they're responsible for $5 to $6 billion for Marvel.
Those movies are massive. Like, when you think about Marvel movies, they're the ones that you pretty much think about, right?
Yes. So they have very much look, the house style was established, but they really locked in the whole mashing up as many characters as possible. And they come from a TV background. They were responsible for a lot of the best episodes of Community. And this sort of stuff. And they work really well at this serialized storytelling on the big screen. But yeah, apparently they were very close to signing on the dotted line to come back and start looking at other projects. But this whole deal with potentially having your film go to streaming and what that does to your back pocket, all this sort of stuff, has made them walk away.
Wow.
Yes, that's a big deal, because like since then they did that one film with Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley, Chaos something. Happened. It went out on Netflix and like disappeared after 3 days.
Right. Okay. Oh.
Didn't do too much.
Damn.
Got lost in the sea of stream.
Yeah. That's it. It was a bit too much. Bit too much else. I think maybe a new Castlevania or something else. But yeah, I would like to see them return. I very much enjoy their work within the house style. I think they you know, color within the lines of the best of the directors they work with. Mm. But yeah, we're gonna see all these other little unexpected dominoes fall from this case, I think, things that we didn't quite expect.
Mm.
That's a shame for Marvel movies moving ahead. I wonder if that's the case for the series, though, or if the series are sort of safer in the world of Disney Plus. I don't know. Because everything leads on to everything else in that universe.
That's it, and they all connect, and there's a proper timeline. Like, I'm quite disappointed that I can't see Shang-Chi yet, that it's out in the States, that, you know, in other states in Australia, people are able to watch it. It's the first time a Marvel movie's come out, and I haven't seen it within about 4 hours of it being able to be seen legally.
Is that why you're shaking a bit, Tom? I've noticed. Yeah, just a little bit on edge.
It's bothering me. And, like, they made the film in Sydney. There's a bunch of people who worked on it who can't go see it at the moment. It's a real shame.
Weird, yeah.
But we are one small locality, and if they were to put it on Disney Plus for us, then it would be available on torrent sites in a very high quality not long after. All this sort of stuff. So there's all these things that are apart from business dealings and contracts and money, and it's not an easy thing to, you know, I don't envy anyone's position in this. I get why Scarlett, you know, she is owed what she's due.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Disney got a Disney. They can't just let money sit on the shelf. And they got to pay a lot of people.
Like you said, you can understand both sides, and it's awkward, but kind of interesting too, because we'll find out some things, I'm sure, as time goes on. Hey, guys, quick, get excited. 8th of October. Yeah. Because Amazon has bought a new Justin Bieber documentary.
Ooh.
Justin Bieber.
What do you mean a new one? Like, how many have there been?
Well, I also asked that question. And the director who's worked on this one also worked on the YouTube originals, which were Justin Bieber seasons, and its follow-up, The Next Chapter. So following him and his team in the month leading up to his New Year's Eve live performance. So you got rehearsals, looking at the stage. I'm guessing it's kind of like an In Bed with Madonna, Madonna Truth or Dare kind of doco, but less Madonna-y.
I'm pretty sure I saw another documentary for, I want to say, the Never Say Never album or something like that, and it was an IMAX concert.
Whoa!
So that's why I said three, because I weirdly know a fair bit about Justin Bieber.
Sounds like there's too many documentaries about Justin Bieber. I'm just putting it out there.
There was a lot. He was very popular at a time when I was looking after, I was working on some teen girl properties.
Right, and so right.
I weirdly have a crossover of knowing a fair bit about 15-year-old Justin Bieber's whereabouts.
So this is like before all the tattoos. You're like before tattooed Justin.
I was a fan before he was dropping dong.
Wow. What a moment to be alive in the world of Justin. So, yes, 8th of October.
Ludacris gave him the stamp of approval from the beginning. I mean, he probably paid Luda a lot of money to get that. But if Luda's down, I'm down.
Well,
oh, you call him Luda, do you? Not yeah, Mr. Chris.
No, they're best friends.
Friends and family get to call him Chris because that's his real name. I don't know him, so I get to call him Luda.
Okay, yeah, love fair it. Enough. Did you guys see those the Rick and Morty live teasers?
Or teasers? Wow, it just came out of so nowhere, fun. Didn't it? Like it was. I woke up and it was like the first thing on my screen when I woke up one morning. I was like, "What is this?" And yeah, it was like 8 seconds and it's done.
It's crazy. I was wondering why a Christopher Lloyd tweet showed up on my feed. I was like, "What is this?" And I looked it up. I'm like, "Is this real?" It's total left field, but a lot of fun, right? Like he's perfect.
Very clever.
I mean, getting Christopher Lloyd, obviously the character is based on him and getting him to portray a character that he was based on, but still doing his, Back to the Future persona, it seems, but amping it up, making it a little bit crazier, doing the burps, looking a bit wild. It's so cool. What does it mean? What are they going to do?
Yeah, what does it
Is there more? I mean, there's like three clips now.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was some clue in there that was not the main timeline that the show normally follows, that they were, in fact, the iteration from the comic book.
Oh.
So that there's potential that they could appear in the show at some point further down the track. But the show's not that big on continuity, so it might so just it be matter. Some fun ads.
When you've got space and time in any direction you want, it doesn't matter about continuity.
Rick and Morty were in Space Jam New Legacy. Literally there. Yeah, just because the creator got paid. And he was like, they appear for about 3 seconds. There's a lot of weird cameos in that film, but yeah.
I've got no problems with that. Speaking of teasers, did you guys also see the Matrix ones? Matrix 4 ones?
I'm very excited. 22nd of December, I think it's coming out. And look, I know Matrix sort of got worse as they went, right? The first one was amazing. Second one was like, third one was like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
So four almost seems like a bit of a reboot, but it's not. Like, I think they're portraying it as sort of going back and doing it again, but Keanu's still in it and Carrie Ann Moss is still in it.
Yes. And it sounded like Lawrence Fishburne narrating the first teaser that I saw, but the second one definitely wasn't him. The first one is all about taking the red pill and the second one's all about taking the blue pill. So that's what I'm quite interested about, seeing those two takes where people are like, I don't want to know, or I do want to know.
Well, maybe they're going to show what would happen to Keanu if he took the blue pill instead of the red pill.
Mm.
Like a parallel universe sort of thing.
Sliding doors.
Yes. Funnily enough, they definitely will lock in Aqua as the soundtrack for the movie.
I love Aqua. I have no problems with that.
What was your favorite Aqua song? Was it Barbie Girl or the Jungle
Jones,
one?
Jones calling Dr. Yep. Jones.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wake up now. Oh, wake up now. Oh. Matrix.
There you go. Hey. Have you got any more news?
No, I'm done.
Then I've got a good, speaking of 90s classics, here's a fun fact. So today's fun fact is about one of my favorite 90s movies, and I remember going to see it for one of my friend's birthdays, was cool. Jim Carrey's The Mask.
Mm. Oh, yes.
So we've got Cameron Diaz doing her thing, first time really blowing up the spot.
Yeah.
Here's the fun fact. So Chuck Russell, the director, revealed that a lot of money was saved on special effects after Jim Carrey was cast.
Because
Carrey's body movements were so flexible and cartoonish, they didn't need to enhance them digitally.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
So that's pretty cool in itself. But then the oversized teeth on the mask character were originally only to be used during silent scenes. However, Jim Carrey learned to talk with them on to make his character that much more wacky. So this is it. There's so much going on with that film that I thought was digital that is maybe just rubbery that guy is.
There's nobody else that I can think of that could have been the mask and done it successfully like him. You're also now with the teeth, you're also making me think that he managed to speak with the Grinch weird teeth as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Dumb and Dumber, where he took a tooth out.
Oh, yeah, that was. And had the hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a versatile actor. I mean, what can't he do?
You know, I went and saw that movie, not for a friend's birthday, but with like the family. So like the family and the cousins and the aunt and uncle, like we all went along to watch it together. And I remember, I don't know what the scene was, but my mum was laughing for like so much on a particular Jim Carrey related scene that after the scene had finished and everybody else in the theater had stopped laughing at it, she started back up again, just reliving it in her mind. And God, that was funny. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie for years.
No, I've got to go watch it again. And you're right. That was Cameron Diaz's like first like real breakout role. You're right. Like, yeah.
You remember her walking into the bank? That's a movie star arrival.
Yes. I'm here.
Yep.
As I said,
we saw it for a birthday, and then afterwards we went to Sizzler. Oh, what a bloody yes. day!
All
what
you
a
can
bloody
eat
day!
Salad bar. You got the bread that was only like half toasted, but it had that cheese
parmesan.
Stuff. Yeah, parmesan,
parmesan toast.
On it.
It's the best.
Did you make your own?
It's so '90s. It's so '90s time. I love it.
Yeah, this is good. Were you wearing like Air Jordan pump high tops?
Flanny.
Oh yeah, you gotta have a flanny.
Wow, you just combined three different shoes. I really like that. Air Jordan pump high tops.
I just thought that was the same thing. I thought that was the one
Jordans
pair.
And pumps of Reeboks.
Oh, right, okay. Well,
that was really 90s. Maybe I was wearing my Charlotte Hornets jacket.
Oh, yeah, you would have been.
I was.
And your hair would have been like the Hugh Grant, like the parted fringe flop.
No.
JTT
no,
from
I did not do that. I had
flat top.
The
Oh yes.
I was too young for the flat top. I had the very spiked fringe. Mm. A lot of product.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Short but spiked frosted tips.
Tinted. Oh.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. I used to have sun in where you spray this stuff and then you go sit in the sun and it makes your hair go really bleach really quickly. I used to do that on my tips as well. Oh, my God.
And did you spike them as well? Like how much
Yeah,
gel?
Yeah, I used a gel or mousse.
Yeah,
gel
right.
would make it really crunchy.
Yep.
Mousse would make it a little bit more malleable. Mm. But I liked the mousse because it was like ice cream.
And the wetter it looked, the better.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I miss having hair.
Flashbacks of all these people I knew back then. Oh, gosh, the memories. Tom, thank you so much for that fun fact that cast us back to 90s hair discussions. That was good.
I told you that was a fun fact today.
It really
I
was.
I told you it was. It bloody was.
I reckon it's now time for watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So I think because Mick is back for the first time in too long, we should ask Mick, what you been watching?
Yeah. What have you been watching? And it's been one of these things where lockdown – my wife and I always try and get through series and then we go to the next one. We don't watch too many things at once.
Yeah.
We're about to wrap up on terrestrial free-to-air live television, oof, which rarely happens. We're watching Survivor Australia, and that's about to wrap up this coming weekend. It's been great. It's been one of the best Survivor series, American or Australian, that I've seen in a long time, and really, really enjoying that. They've managed to just find new characters, like new characters. I call them characters, but, you know, people who are cast on this show, and there's not big backstories, not big sob stories. They're just real people, and they've got some really great people they've picked this year, and they're going to go on to be some of the best Survivor players that we've seen, and they'll probably come back and do best ofs and whatnot. But, yeah, just an awesome season, so really enjoying that.
Sure. Has there been lots of drama, or what's fired up?
A big drama. They've got this guy called George who is the self-proclaimed king of Bankstown. So he's from Western Sydney, and he's a politician. But they didn't actually call him a politician because he's not elected or anything, but he's like a political operative, which is what they call him.
Perfect.
And he has somehow survived, and we're up to the final three and he's still there. And it's amazing that he's actually survived, because he nearly got voted out the very first day, very first tribal. So somehow he's survived until the very end, the last man standing. And he's annoying, but he's very entertaining. And they've done really well.
I know exactly what you mean. Those kind of characters, like, oh my gosh, I really want you to go, but I don't. Also, because if you're not there, then I'm not going to be able to laugh at you or watch you do the most ridiculous things. Yeah, I'm watching Hell's Kitchen at the moment, and there's this one guy. He pulls the most amazing facial expressions whenever, because you know when,
like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, kind of like Jim Carrey. when Gordon likes to get a bit of salmon and just chuck it, like, and then he smashes it on the thing on the counter so it just goes everywhere, and then he goes, "What are you guys doing?" You know, and everyone goes, "Oh, very sorry about that." This guy goes, like all these amazing facial expressions, and he's not that great. He thinks he's the leader, and I don't want him to leave ever, because that's what he's there for. He's for the entertainment. And usually those kind of characters don't stay till the last three. So this is amazing.
It is amazing, but he's done really well. Like he's given up on challenges. He just doesn't even try the challenges because he never wins a challenge, but he does the other bits, the outwit and the outlast, but not the outplay. He can't do the outplay because he can't win. He's weak. Very weak. I don't know how these people get on Survivor. When they ask in the audition, we would like, you know, you have to be fit and you've got to be able to do challenges and you've got to be like strong. And they would have looked at this guy and just gone, "You're not winning any challenges, but you've got the gab and you've got the voice and you're a quirky guy, so we're going to put you on." And it's worked. So good on them.
I've also seen that you've been doing some YouTube live streams where you kind of have a chat about them, which is pretty fun with your friend, right?
Well, my friend Tarina, we did this once before with Married at First Sight, and it was a disaster because that show went for friggin' ever
never
ended. And I just didn't want to watch it anymore. We got to the end, we're just like exhausted. So this Survivor is not quite as long, it goes for like 8 weeks, and there's like three episodes a week. And we just do like a recap each week. And it's been a bit of fun just to sort of talk about the show and, you know, hang out, because, you know, we can't actually physically see each other in rooms, but this works.
Totally.
When you can hang out with people and just chat.
Yeah.
And then put it online. That's what you guys do every Friday, right?
This is exactly what we do. This is it. It's along the same lines for sure. So where in Australia is this Survivor?
Oh, so the Queensland government actually chipped in money.
Cool.
Because usually they go to Fiji or Samoa, and they've got like beaches and quite exotic sort of palm trees and whatnot. Because they couldn't go overseas, the Queensland government said, "Hey, come and do it in our little state, and we'll pay money to do it, promote our state, and we're going to do it in Cloncurry." And Cloncurry is like butt fuck nowhere. It's like Western Queensland. I can't even remember the closest town, to be honest. There's not much out there. Sort of Mount Isa-ish, but not quite that far up.
Okay. Yeah, right.
And it's an amazing location. This is like billabongs, because we call them billabongs because it's Australian.
Yeah.
And amazing like landscapes. There's kangaroos, there's emus, no, they show crocodiles in the cut scenes, but I'm pretty sure there's no crocodiles there. But it makes it look good for the American people watching, because they're like, "Oh my God, there's crocodiles in the Survivor? Wow." But they just put those in the cutscenes to make it look scary. But yeah, no, it's actually been a really cool location, but it's hot. Even though they filmed it in like June, I think, June, July, it's really hot and they are struggling. And there's no beach to jump into. There's like a dirty sort of
dirty brown thing where yabbies are going to.
Oh, yeah, they're catching yabbies. Yeah, they're everywhere.
I bet they are. I love that this kind of show that's been around for years and years and years has these seasons where it just connects, like it all works again and everyone's on board and is watching it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's been going so, so long. Survivor Australia sort of started one channel, then flopped, and then it came back again. And since it's been back with Jonathan LaPaglia hosting it, he's amazing, like really, really good host. And I couldn't – do you know who hosted Survivor Australia when it first came on? It was Ian Dicko Dickinson. Remember the guy who did Australian
Idol?
He hosted Survivor. Wow. And I forgot this too, but I went back and looked and, oh, my God, it was terrible.
What a weird casting choice.
Yeah. So when they got Jonathan LaPaglia, of course, brother of Anthony, he's a natural. He's
Makes
amazing.
Sense.
Yeah. I put him up there with the Jeff Probst.
Well, that's the kind of person that you need, right? You need it's kind of like Lego Masters, right, in that Hamish is sort of the quintessential perfect host for that, so much so that, Tom, I know
they set the tone. You know, it all feeds from them. If they're enjoying it, they're invested. Dicko is all about, you know, being a bit of a shock jock and saying crazy things and stuff like that. So I can't imagine him working on Survivor.
No. You got to be pretty straight, but you got to be quirky. You got to be, you know, you got to do the classic lines and you got to like make it. Like build it all up and stuff and just ask the smart questions.
Do you reckon Jonathan LaPaglia hates getting asked about how his brother?
Probably, because I actually don't know what Jonathan does otherwise. Like he did have an acting career. I can't remember what he was in anymore.
Yeah, I just know him. Yeah.
His brother had all the big plum roles and got some big movie roles and TV roles. Because all the TV show that Anthony was in.
And probably most of their mother's love.
Probably.
Yeah, I'd say
but
so.
But maybe not anymore.
Yeah.
This is a photo of when Anthony won an Emmy. This is when Jonathan put the trash out.
But Jonathan might be the favourite one now because he's been back in Australia. He's probably home to see the family. And they're like, oh, we like Jonathan now because he's come to see us.
Yeah, we get to see
him. He's a good son.
He's the good son. Tom, what have you been watching this week?
Look, I'm going to throw one out there that I feel somewhat confident that other people I'm talking to right now may have seen.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
We've had two seasons and a movie in the past of What We Do in the Shadows. And season three kicked off Friday our time last week. Two episodes so far. Now, I'm not going to go in depth on things.
No, let's not.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't caught up.
This is a weirdly bit of spoiler territory. At the end of last season, Guimero had taken out most of the vampires in the New York tri-state in protecting his friends, and it looked like things were going to go real bad for all of them. I won't say anything more, but...
it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it has shaken up the dynamic of the show quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I am for it. I'm really enjoying where it's going. There's a new, I'm not sure if she is a permanent or semi-permanent or just recurring cast member who fans of Flight of the Conchords will know well.
And The Last Man on Earth.
Yes, fits in very well with this universe. She has appeared on the show before, but she's now been bumped up to what appears to be a far more semi-regular role. And I look forward to seeing more weird takes on supernatural creatures in this universe. I don't know about you, Leah, but I think getting nominated for Emmys last year maybe increased their budget by 30%.
It looks like it. There's this amazing scene where the camera pans up in a library and the library just goes on and on and on forever, like up into like skyscraper stuff. And it looks like nothing you would have seen in the first season. It looks very impressive. And Matt Berry's back being Matt Berry. There's a lot of, they're having a lot of fun where they're kind of messing around with different characters, but different actors potentially yes. portraying different characters, which I got a big kick out of. This is the kind of show, though, and I think you two will agree with me, where you need to savor the episodes because they're not that many. What, about 8, 10? I can't remember.
It's not going to be a crazy amount.
So you need to savor them because each one is chef's kiss.
Mwah! Exactly what I do. I don't like to ram it down and watch them all in one go. You want to space them out and just make it last as long as possible. I do the similar with Rick and Morty because there's limited long spaces between seasons. I just watch them bit by bit and don't ram them down straight away. I haven't watched the last one of that yet. But I'm excited that season 3 is good and that it's getting better, and I can't wait to watch it.
I'm really, really excited. However, I did read a bunch of interviews and this and stuff, and I was disheartened to learn, Leah, we won't be seeing Jackie Daytona this season.
Why?
He doesn't need his incredible disguise at any point. His tight jeans and a toothpick. I will say, when you do watch Mick, the first two episodes drop together. I would strongly recommend watching them together. It sets up this new dynamic and moves forward with it. But I think it might have had my favorite Matt Berry fuck off.
I wonder how many takes he did with that. Or just one.
I reckon there'd be a few you can choose from. Yeah,
Bat.
I think this show, especially for like lockdown folk, has come at the perfect time because it's now something to look forward to each week, which
Americans are falling in love with Wellington.
Paranormal. That's Paranormal. A great show. What a great show.
Are they only just catching up with the beginning of it, like when it first came out?
FXX, who shows What We Do in the States, only bought the rights for it
recently,
I think early this year or something like that.
Yeah.
And they've been using it as a lead-in for this new season.
Perfect.
But they're just loving it over there. And the Kiwi accent, the very low budget, all of it is just really clicking.
That beautiful sense of humor too that Kiwis have. Yeah. It's just
I think they may end up getting more seasons of that off the back of how well it's doing in the States.
Hope so.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'd be really happy with that.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
A show that started, the second season started recently on Amazon Prime is Modern Love. I watched the first season a while after it had first come out.
Is that with Paul Rust and Gillian... Oh, no. Was that just Love?
That's Love. Yes, Gillian, whatever her name is, from Community.
Yeah, you
that's
talked
standard
about...
standard Love, not Modern
just,
Love.
This is Modern
okay,
Love.
Okay, you've talked about a that's few love shows so, on yeah, well, Netflix. I'm confused.
This is Amazon Prime. There's nothing to get confused about. It's totally fine.
Okay.
This show has a different story and different group of actors in every single episode. So the first season had, for my standouts were of course the Tina Fey's, but there were Anne Hathaway. I'm just having a look at some of the list now. Andy Garcia was in there.
Anne Hathaway's episode was so sad. There were some really good episodes. I remember the first season was great.
It was amazing. And the second season had some really cool different things in it. In fact, trying to think the first... within the first maybe four episodes, two of them are set in Ireland. And I was like, oh, what's going on? But you've got Kit Harington, Anna Paquin, Minnie Driver in it. And the Kit Harington one was really interesting. That was one that was set in – started on a train on the way to, I think, Dublin. And he plays a an Irish guy. I'd be interested to see if people from Ireland thought he was doing a good accent. But, you know, I'm from Australia. I don't know. He sounded Irish. It was fine. Anyway, that was all about the beginning, the very beginning of the pandemic, where everyone's like, just going to pop home for a couple of weeks and then we'll be able to go back to work or go back to school or whatever. Yeah, exactly. So they met on a train and then they were going to meet back at the train station to after 2 weeks to go back to where they were going to go. And they were like, we don't need each other's numbers. We're definitely going to come back here. Of course, they couldn't because there were, you know, there were suddenly these 5-kilometer barrier, all this kind of thing. And I like these episodes because they're just super self little contained stories that finish, start and finish within that sort of 30, 40 minutes, and then it moves on. I do remember, though, Mick, I'm not sure, the last episode of the first season, I think there was a slight tie-in, like everybody kind of was somehow connected.
Oh, no, that's right. They sort of showed some footage where you'd see this person, they'll tie into this person, and you'd see them walking past the footpath. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot that.
So I don't know how they're going to do this one, but I really like this show because you can watch one episode. I don't watch more than one because I just go away, enjoy that story, and then and then come back. I try and do maybe one a week because I'm trying to space them out as well. But Modern Love season 2, Amazon. If you haven't seen the first one, watch it as well. It's good.
Thanks.
Mick, have you watched anything else that you want to sort of shout out?
Quickly, I've been keeping up with War of the Worlds season 2,
which
is on SBS On Demand. Right. It's a bit harrowing, so I haven't been watching it in big chunks and even sometimes just half episodes.
Yep.
But it's getting interesting and quite in depth, and I don't quite know what's going on. Mm. So it's been sort of good to keep up with. And I'm watching 9 Perfect Strangers on Amazon as well. I'm not sure if you guys have seen that one yet, but it's Nicole Kidman produced and she flew everybody out and they went to a farm in Byron Bay, which actually ended up being a friend of mine's house.
That's right. I knew. I was like, I know more of this story behind the scenes. And that's why, Amazon keeps telling me to watch it. So I think I will once I finish Modern Love.
So do you get to watch it and be like, sat on that couch?
Yes.
Ate from that bowl?
They go down the river. There's a creek on this property, right? And they've actually made a hot tub in the creek. So there wasn't a hot tub there before, but they've actually like sectioned it off, put little rocks around it, put some heating elements in it, bubbles and stuff, and the creek has been turned into a hot tub. And they've left it there, and it's just there now. So how cool is that you can have a hot tub in a natural running creek? Although I think the water was freezing, which is why they had to heat it.
So it was out of necessity. So are you kind of like starting to chat with your friend again, sort of set up a trip when possible?
Yes. there's a lot of those parts. I mean, the property is amazing that they filmed this on, but the funny thing is that the show pretends it's in California, right? Mm. But it's obvious in Australia. The trees are Australian, the fences are Australian, like everything just looks Australian, but they're pretending to be in, the hills of California. But it is a gorgeous part of the country, and I definitely would love to go back and swim the pool that Nicole Kidman swam in.
Yeah, exactly. They hopefully change the water by then, but you never know.
can I give you a little tidbit around this as well?
Go on.
So Melissa McCarthy's in it, right? Mm. And Melissa McCarthy was had a clause in a contract that she wouldn't show any skin, like she wouldn't reveal any of her body, even though there's pool scenes and there's dipping in the creek scenes. She said, no one's going to see anything. So I had to get her like a big all-in-one coverall swimsuit thing that you might see in the 1920s or something. And that's what she wears by the pool or when she's swimming, because she just, that was a part. And actually delayed filming for a couple of days because I had to go find this thing that she could wear that didn't reveal any of her body.
Does it look odd? Does it look out of place? Or
does, especially when everyone's sort of swanning by the pool and taking their shirts off, and she's just like completely covered up. It did sort of suit the character that she's portraying, I guess.
Sure.
But it was just also tied into what she wanted. So that was just an interesting little back room tidbit that happened on the filming of the show.
I love.
Does she fall down a lot?
No, she doesn't. She does get drunk, but I haven't seen her fall over yet.
That's all I know her for. I don't. I'm not a fan. So I like hearing stories of her difficulty.
She falls face first into some oatmeal. Does that count?
There you go. There you go. That's her acting thing. She's the female Kevin James.
Hey, do you want to know something? Whenever I say Kevin Hart's name, there's always like a micro pause before I say Hart, because I'm always like, am I saying the right one? James Hart? Hart.
They're very different people.
Like, they're totally different, but for me, I cannot remember their last names correctly.
Can you Can you imagine the levels of hell that would exist being stuck in a lift with Kevin Hart and Kevin James?
Yeah, not even Dante would be involved in that. That'd be a bit much, wouldn't it? Tom, have you watched anything else?
I've watched Walking Dead.
All right. I want to know what you thought of this episode, because you were quite a you didn't like the first. You're quite a fan of the second. What about the third?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just back to Walking Dead again. Walking Dead gonna do it.
Yeah.
It was fine. I watched it two nights ago. Behind the scenes peek, everyone.
I thought you were going to say you watched it twice. I was like,
what? No, behind the scenes peek, everyone. We're recording this on Wednesday instead of Tuesday.
Yes.
Because of family shenanigans, we'll say around these parts. That means I watched it Monday night. And Mick, I enjoyed it so much that Wednesday morning, I didn't make any notes. I don't remember what happened.
That's the sign of not a great episode.
Oh, look, they killed a bunch of red shirts. And a guy named Alden, who has been there for quite a few seasons, but I had to check that his name was Alden and not Aiden. He's had a bit of a rough go. We don't know, you know. Okay, it was a chess moving episode. They're moving the pieces around, get things ready.
Yeah,
typical mid-season
Talking fare. Dead. It was the Talking Dead episode.
Absolutely. You've now got Maggie and Negan having to walk back by themselves, like together by themselves. So they'll have to have a walking conversation and saving each other's lives episode next. Carol is doing kind of Carol-y stuff, sort of, where she just gets things done. Don't ask any questions where she got it from. That kind of thing. Talking about the horse. And
I thought it was weird that Carol, like that what's her name, Magda, came up to Carol and she's like, "Carol, can you please stop having a word with my deaf friend?" Like, it felt out of character. Carol had only gone out with this woman spoken to her once. They didn't really talk; they more just signed. Don't come up and say, "Oi, stop giving my friend hope." What a bitch move! I do remember that. You gotta remember the week. You gotta know, Mick. The week before, someone said the phrase, "Gee, that's a hot take," in the middle of Walking Dead, where the zombie apocalypse apparently happened in 2010. They are aware of
the hashtag 18.
Yeah, hashtags.
Next, I'll be saying that things hit differently.
Oh,
I can see that. I can see that happening. All right, we're going to have to keep notes on fear and this and the well beyond one, so we can be like, Mick, we saw it. They said it. They heard you. Yeah.
Guys, I've got a confession to make.
Yes,
I stopped watching Walking Dead like 3 years ago.
That's fine.
I know that. I think we've talked about this before, and that it was one of those shows where you had to either commit and just keep going, or you just draw the line and say, "That's it, I'm done."
Yeah,
I drew that line and I haven't revisited it. I've heard of what bits and pieces that have happened, but I haven't gone back, and I feel okay about it.
Look, I completely respect that. I have recently, and I haven't talked about this on the show yet, but I've recently done the same with The Flash, which is something that I loved the first few seasons of so much, especially when it was on at the same time as Arrow and they tied in together. Arrow's finished and The Flash has lost its way, and my two favorite characters left is earlier this season. And I've still got 6 episodes left that I can go back and watch, but I'm happy drawing the line. And I feel good for it. So I understand where you're coming from with Walking Dead. Leah and I are too far invested.
We're too far.
And
there's not that much to go, right? Yeah.
There's not that much to go.
You have to do it now. You can't stop now. Imagine if you stop now, it'd be like, 6 or 7 episodes to the end and you stop. That would be travesty. So, yeah, just do it for the rest of us.
Do it.
Keep us up to date.
See how we go. Would you guys like to do a quiz? And by quiz, I mean, would you like to, would you rather?
Would I rather? Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. So this is would you rather acting roles. So we're going to see what kind of actor you would be if you were an actor. So, and myself as well. So first one is, would you rather play a murder victim or the murderer in Murder, She Wrote?
Do we see said murder victim be murdered? Do we get to do a little bit of acting at the beginning?
Yeah, that's right. So you're probably kind of annoying, like in the, you get in a fight with someone, but you don't see who the person is, and then you get murdered, and then you just get to lie around.
And get paid to get lie around?
Yes.
But I've always wanted to pretend to be dead, like really, really pretend, like so close that you know, you're breathing really shallowly.
You're trying not to breathe, yes.
Like, you know, you see people who are dead and if you look really closely, you can see their chest going up and down. That's like a good, if you can do it without showing that, then how good an actor are you? Like, you've nailed it.
You should probably be getting some kind of acting Emmy or whatnot.
Oh, why don't I have a category for best dead person?
There should be a best death.
Yes.
So yes. In the same way, the horror awards, you completely the horror awards have a best kill, but they don't have a best death. And I feel like you should be rewarding the person who's laying you. Yeah, you've nailed something there. I'm really into that.
That is good.
I'd be the murderer. I would be a murderer.
Oh, because you want to look really calm and casual, and then she starts to explain how you killed the person, and you get rattled, and then you give it all away.
And fly off the hook. You weren't there. You don't know. She stole my recipe.
Gosh. I don't know. I kind of want to be the murder victim so that I can do that lying around thing. So I'm kind of thinking along the lines of like Joey, you know, remember in Friends he would play like people in comas and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I could do that kind of thing. Or you could have the best of both worlds and play twins, and one twin's murder and the other's the murderer. Two roles.
That's the best of both worlds right there. Imagine that.
It's a lot of work though.
Is that the twin kills the twin?
Yes.
Hmm.
That's right. Yes.
Or like Looper, and you could kill yourself.
Oh yeah. Yes, you could.
I forgot that movie.
Would you rather be in a Broadway play or a Broadway musical?
Ooh.
Sorry.
Like, now, Mick, I know you like music. That's the thing. So would you be committed to getting up there every night and belting out that one singular sensation every little step she takes, but being told not to make that noise? Don't do the doodle-doodle-doodle at the end.
You might
make the lightsaber noises.
Wow, play or musical? I like plays. I think plays, you've got a little bit more scope to put your own little stamp on it,
change it a bit each night.
You know, musicals are very rigid. I feel like, there's a lot of people on stage, but you screw up and it's everyone screwed up. Yep. Plays, you can sort of less people, you sort of maybe a little bit more flexible, although people are watching you closer, so if you stuff up, it's more noticeable.
No, I don't think so, because like musicals, you also have to dance a lot, and I think that there's a lot of things you have to do all at once, where a play, I can just focus on making sure I walk over and stand on that spot and say the lines, and I think that's probably the extent of my capabilities.
You reckon it depends if you're an introvert or an extrovert, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say, I feel like I'm having a conversation with two people that potentially maybe – Leah, were you a stage manager at some point?
No, I should have been.
Listen to me. At the moment, you two are people that, you know, you dress in black and run the show from the wings. I don't want to be in a musical ever, because I did that. I did Pirates of Penzance at school. Was it Pirates? Yeah, it was Pirates. And at one point, I had to be locked in a box on stage. It was the box was designed for the shortest person in the cast, and they had a panic attack, could do it. So I had to be on stage in this tiny box for eight minutes each night. Whoa. And I'd wait until there was a point, and I'd jump out like a skeleton in a graveyard.
Oh, so you weren't the very model of a modern Major General.
Fuck, no, I was pirate number 27. Musicals can do one. I'll do a one-man show. Give me the spotlight.
All right.
Bring it on. I have a chat, bit of a soliloquy. Get up there and have a discourse with the crowd.
Love it. I can't wait to see that one. I'm buying tickets now.
Yeah, do the next Nanette. Would you rather be cast as a brand new superhero or a well-known and established one?
Ooh, good one.
Oof.
Go, Tom.
Yeah. I feel like the easier answer for everybody is to be an established one, because then you can choose who you're playing. Yeah. But then on the flip side, everyone appreciates when something like The Boys or comes along when there's an original take. So, yeah, I think I'd have to go with original, because he'd have to be Australian-centric and probably be going insane from the unwarranted expectations of the press, media and politicians. Tall poppy syndrome of Australian public cutting him down at every chance.
Ooh, what's his name?
And Thunder from Down Under.
Oh, perfect. It's great.
And
does make it sound like he's a stripper, though, just so you know.
Oh, I know. Well, by the end of the, it's a trilogy, but by the end of the first film, we get the inklings that he may not be the hero that we thought. By the end of the second one, because there's no evil for him to actually punch here by himself in Australia, he goes mad and becomes the villain. There you go. There's the arc. And then his son in the third one, the son needs to rise up and take him down.
Right.
And he's the small thunder from Down Under.
The crackle.
Yeah, I can't think of what a small thunder is. Yeah.
His superhero name is Thunder.
Oh.
I feel like you've thought about this, Tom. This is great.
I may have worked on a spec script at some point.
Giving all your secrets away.
I agree with you, Tom, and that I would play a superhero that hadn't been around, because that expectation from fans to play a character in exactly the way they expect, and everyone's got their own expectations of how it should be played. And I mean, we've seen it with Batman, right? Like, not every Batman fan agrees with every other Batman fan that that is the best Batman. Like, everyone has a different favorite, or they'll hate them all. So I wouldn't want to ever play a superhero that everyone knows. I want to play a new one so you can put your own stamp on it, and then you become the original. You are the model that everyone else will copy.
I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you, because I think even if you play like some DC or Marvel fourth tier character, someone's going to know them and they're going to love them, and however you play it is incorrect. So, brand new one, like you said, Boys, and you are that character for the rest of your whole entire career. That's 3 for 3. Well done. Would you rather star in a critically acclaimed film or one that's stupid but makes lots of money?
Stupid but make lots of money.
Me too.
I want to be The Rock.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Daniel Day-Lewis.
I want to be Dante from Clerks, because that is a movie that, you know, costs nothing to make but went really popular. Clerks 3 is just wrapped, and I'm excited to see it, even though they're all old and, you know, Kevin Smith's lost all the weight. But that's for me, is like that stupid, quirky little homemade movie that, you know, is still remembered now. It's a cult favorite.
It does good.
Blockbusters come and go.
I think I want to be in a blockbuster because I just don't know if I would have the acting chops to be able to be in a critically acclaimed film. If I just have to go in there and have some sort of catchphrase for, you know, like a "what's me what" kind of thing, and then I walk out again and that's what I say in every scene and get like $1 million for it, I'm happy with that.
But then maybe you'll move on to the critically acclaimed movies later.
Maybe I'll be later
after
on.
Your career's dried up and gone. Yes. And you've spent all your money, you've bought all your mansions, you've gone, you know, destitute, you need money. Someone will pick you up and go, "Hey, we remember you in this blockbuster. That line you did was great.
It was so
good. We'd love to get you in for this little niche boutique film." And you can say real line. And you'll be like, "Yes, please." And they'll pay you like a fraction of what you got, but you'll be much happier. There we go. That's your arc.
Fulfillment. I love it. Would you rather learn a new language for a role, or like a made up one, like Dothraki or whatever Jabba the Hutt Joeys or whatever it was? Would you prefer to learn Japanese or Dothraki for a role? I mean, for me, it would be super handy to know another language. You know, you learn it for the film and then you know it really well. But it's kind of cool bragging rights to say, I learned a whole made-up language.
Mm. Well, Klingon's still spoken by lots of people.
True.
Right?
Same with like Elvish from Tolkien stuff. Yeah. Mm.
I think it's super hard to learn any language, right? Like I've got both parents who, you know, come from European cultures, and I never learned any of their languages, and I wish I did when I was young, because when you get old, it's bloody hard to learn any language. But I like the fact if I'm going to learn a language, it'll be a made-up one because there's less words because there's only the words in the movie, right?
Yeah,
like
pretty much.
You only have to learn this subset of the words from a made-up language, and once you learn them, you know the language, done.
I'm gonna say I think you're onto something there, because not only that, if you learn a made-up language, and this might be a stretch from me, but like, what was that movie with Amy Adams? Was it Arrival?
Arrival, yep. They were showing the
tentacles and all the blah, 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 blah. If you knew how to create a made-up language, if you could speak this language where it's about gestures and intonation, and you've created a language throughout non-verbal understanding or words that don't have context understanding, then surely that would open up a lot of possibilities for interspecies communication. Maybe we could talk with dolphins like in Sequest DSV. Or we're ready if aliens come. So I reckon, Mick, you nailed it there. It's the right way to go. Fuck other languages, other people. You can do one. Speak English like all the rest of us.
Mike. Okay. So none of us are committed enough to learn a proper language. That's good. Well done.
I did
us.
German and Latin at school.
That's more than enough.
I work enough. In a place with 60 different languages, and I still haven't learned another language. Yeah. It's a sad fact.
I reckon Nabil knows enough for all of us.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Yes, he does. And don't people who know lots of languages just make you angry? Like,
yeah.
How do you know so many languages?
Such a show-off thing.
I always think that about Shakira. I'm like, stop it.
People always think I'm pretty fancy because I say something and then I'm like, you know, it's that je ne sais quoi. And
whoa.
They're like, ooh, la la.
Trey Swish.
Gosh. Oh, croissant.
Cul-de-sac. Would you rather star opposite a really great actor or a really terrible one? This is the last one. Ooh. Basically, do you want to look better or worse?
So I reckon it depends. So you go, Leo.
Well, I kind of want to be opposite the really great actor in hopes that they, like, how good they are will lift my acting skills up.
Sure.
I think that might be the way to go.
It depends on how serious you are on your acting, I reckon, and how early or late it is in your career. Mm. But I would say if it's early in your career, you want to be with crap actors so you look good.
Mm.
Yes.
And then later, but then also, I get what you mean, Leah, because you want to be with good actors so they can teach you stuff.
Someone's been watching Robert De Niro movies. That's his
Do you reckon actors, get really embarrassed about early roles? I know some probably do, but like, it's out there, right? Like, you can't ever take it away. Once the movie's out and you're terrible in it, and maybe you went on to be really great, but you still always, that movie will always exist as that terrible role you took. Do you think that haunts actors going forward?
Yeah.
Or are they just like, nah,
I also
fine?
Think that with musicians or bands as well, like, why did we release that song? I mean, people liked it, but it's musically terrible.
Yeah, musicians get very sensitive about early material, so much so that they'll like remove it from everywhere because they don't want people to hear it, or they don't release it at all.
Yeah.
I would want to work with bad actors because I think y'all, my friends, everything like that, would get more enjoyment out of seeing me in something like Birdemic. than they would of seeing me in something fancy pants.
Yeah.
Okay. It's good for the memes, you know? Mm. Imagine getting memed from how bad you were in a movie. That'd be amazing. Something like that.
Look at the room.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. We could all have been in that and probably gone quite well. Could all be amazing.
I did not hit her. I did not.
Oh, hi, Mark. Brilliant work, everyone. I think we figured out so much about ourselves and the acting world. Mick, thank you very much for coming on. This has been so much fun, and I don't think we should let it go so long next time.
No, I really appreciate being coming back on, and, of course, anytime I'll jump on and say g'day. It's been
lovely.
Pleasure.
Always welcome.
Yeah, always a stellar episode with Mr. Mick. All right, Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
You're tearing me apart.